Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host, Steve Halepka. Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Happy 2019 from everyone here at the Super Flexible Podcast. I am your host, Steve Halepka, here tonight with my boys, Tudrick. What's up, Tudrick?
What's up, dude? Happy 2019.
Happy 2019. Man, how was your holiday?
Fantastic. How was yours?
It was great, man. First one with the baby girl was a blast.
Nice.
Blast. Yeah, so much.
Now trade me a quarterback, damn it.
All right, we'll get into that in a little bit before the show starts.
Both of you and I like dropped some major dimes on some cars over the holidays.
Yes.
Yeah, so Spike, what's going on, man?
It was pretty awesome. Oh, yeah, nothing. So just talking about real life stuff. Spending our money on car problems.
Oh, gosh. What happened, man?
Oh, just car problems and lots of money.
It's always a fun time. Not only the, you know, the presents that you have to buy for Christmas, but then car issues in real life catches up for sure.
It's always perfect timing.
Exactly.
So tonight, tons of news from the NFL. Coachapalooza, if you will. Tons of head coaches being hired as we just got on tonight, too. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Tudrick, of course, will give his double shot of the week, playoff edition.
Coachapalooza all the days.
All the days.
With two drinks, double shots, playoff edition. What else can we add to that?
We got 2018. We'll let him finish.
Swags getting foals.
Swags might be getting foals. Yep. And we got,
That's the most positive you've talked about it since we've been talking. It sounds like it's happening.
You never know. It could happen. Well, we're going to have our own Superflex trade talk, but of course we do have the Superflex trade segment as well tonight. Before we get into all that, though, let's talk about where you can find us on Twitter. So, Swags, where can the folks find you?
I am at @DFF_Swag.
Tudrick.
@FL2DrinkMinimum and @SuperflexPod.
Awesome, and I am @TheRealHalepka and @SuperflexTrades. So let's talk about this crazy string of NFL hires going on. Breaking news before we hopped on tonight, so probably about a half hour before we hopped on, the Jets actually hired Adam Gase, a former Miami Dolphin head coach, as their head coach, beating out guys like Matt Rhule and Mike McCarthy. So famed quarterback guru Adam Gase is now the Jets head coach. I'll start with Tudrick on this one because he's obviously close being Adam Gase as his former head coach. What do you think about this hire?
It's trash, to be honest. I'm a little surprised. I hope for Superflex, it's good for Darnold, and we can finally see some of that Gase, but the farther and farther we get away from Gase being with Peyton Manning, the worse and worse he tends to look. I get in Miami, he didn't have a lot of consistency at quarterback, and the ones that were there were also trash. I would like to see the Jets do something else. I mean, at least they got an offensive coach in.
Yep.
You see that a lot of times when they go from defensive coach and they fire him, they usually go the opposite way. So we hope for Darnold's sake that it's better, but I don't love it as an organization. Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, I mean, I guess as a Dolphins fan, it's okay because I don't know that the Jets are going to get much better overall this way. But not like my Dolphins are looking much better.
So I'm going to run down the rest of the hires real quick, and then let's break it down and kind of talk about the group as a whole because it's a very heavy offensive theme for all these hires. So the Jets did hire Adam Gase. The Packers hired former Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur as their head coach. It's expected for LaFleur to keep Mike Pettine on as defensive coordinator. The Bucs getting Bruce Arians. I'm so excited for this one. So the Bucs actually had to trade for Bruce Arians because the Cardinals still held his rights. So they got Bruce Arians and a 2019 seventh rounder for a 2019 sixth rounder from the Cardinals.
Throwaway
picks just so they could get Arians on their team. Todd Bowles will be the defensive coordinator. Byron Leftwich, who had a really nice run after he took over in Arizona, will be the offensive coordinator for Arians in Tampa.
And was with Bruce. Didn't Bruce bring him on back in Arizona back in the day too? So definitely has some familiarity with the coach, so that's nice. And that defensive get is nice for that team too.
Bowles and Arians definitely have some history there as well. So then the Cardinals picked up ex-Texas Tech head coach and USC offensive coordinator for a hot minute, Cliff Kingsbury, as their new head coach. The Browns decided to keep Freddie Kitchens, so Freddie Kitchens will be their head coach, promoting him from offensive coordinator. The one defensive hire so far, so the Broncos hired Vic Fangio, former defense coordinator of the Chicago Bears, as their head coach, and then Gary Kubiak is coming down from his front office role to be the offense coordinator and call plays. Weird. So, again, tons of offensive hires here. Swags, I'm going to go to you for you on this one. Adams, I guess, what, six hires now. Which one of them are you most excited for from an offensive fantasy perspective?
Man, I don't know. I'd probably say the Cardinals.
Really? So you're on the Kingsbury train.
I think that we'll see Rosen air it out a little bit more and give me some Christian Kirk. I don't know. It's such a crazy thing. Like, I mean, they call it like the Russian roulette of coaching. And I mean, that's so what it is, because it's just like suicide. But this year, it seems like people are just taking other people's death match and moving it to their team. And so nothing really excites me. Most of the situations we've seen moved are situations we're sick of on other teams. And now I just hope they don't ruin another situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that, I think. No, I get it. There's some of that for sure. But I think there's actually a lot of new blood here when you think about it, right? Like, LaFleur getting a head coaching job. Bruce Arians coming back, who I think worked wonders in Arizona when he was there and made a really smart move to get out while he did, when he realized that roster stunk. Freddie Kitchens was great as the offensive coordinator in Cleveland. Vic Fangio, I mean, we don't know what he's going to be like as head coach, but from a defensive point of view, I thought he was very good with the Bears for his tenure. And then Kingsbury could be interesting. I think he's the wild card out of the bunch. But, I mean, to drink, is there any other feeling there about these hires?
No, I'm a little bit more on your side with I'm very interested in the Cardinals situation at Kingsbury. I hope that it works out, because it would be fun to see some more form of an air raid. This is a guy that coached, what, Mahomes, I think even Johnny Manziel, Case Keenum. I want to say he's also the same guy that let Baker Mayfield walk away from Texas Tech.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of mix there too. I got a good chuckle on your hot minute at USC, because it wasn't much more than that, that's for sure. I'm big on the Bruce Arians. I think that's the one fantasy-wise is big, but that offense wasn't that bad last year. That defense was atrocious. So I think we might see a big turnaround for that team overall. The LaFleur one's a little bit more question mark, but that's Rodgers' team anyways, right? Like,
yeah, and I agree with that point about, you know, Green Bay being Rodgers' team, but I'm actually kind of excited for LaFleur. I know there was some heat thrown his way on a couple of podcasts recently today about the hiring, saying, you know, he really didn't, well, he really wasn't the offensive coordinator in St. Louis or in LA with the Rams. He had kind of a paper job there, and this year he wasn't that great. But God, I mean, Mariota didn't really play for most of the year. They figured out who they were and made a really tough run to get to the playoffs. They figured their identity. So, I mean, now with a real quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, like, I'm kind of excited to see what he does there with that kind of zone scheme, almost Shanahan type offense. Yep. So we do have two openings still, two job openings still there, Cincinnati Bengals and Miami Dolphins. So Swags, which of these openings do you think is a better fit or is a better, I guess, position right now to have and to own?
What teams, dude? Sorry.
Cincinnati and Miami.
Just say the Bengals, you jerk.
Yeah, I'd probably rather go to the Bengals.
Yeah.
Get some healthy Dalton and some AJ Green.
Yeah, plus Joe Mixon, plus an offensive line that I think should be getting better. I do think the Bengals job is probably a better job right now.
Yep.
Just not optimistic of either of those situations right now. I just pray that Hugh Jackson is not the Cincinnati Bengals head coach. I'm praying. Because then every, like, AJ Green chair, every Joe Mixon chair just
Gronk retires?
I think, I mean, he's just so beat up. Like, he looked like a shell of himself this past year. He really looked terrible. I think it's a really strong possibility. I really do. What about you, Drink?
Yeah, depending on what he wants to do outside of football, with either wrestling, which is also not awesome on the body and would beat him up pretty good, or even like Hollywood and acting, like, he's going to make as much money doing that at this point than he is, you know what I mean, in football for yeah. what that is. So yeah. it's not going to surprise me at all. I guess it kind of depends to me what the Patriots, you know, kind of do on this run. But I also see as Gronk being a guy that doesn't really give a crap about that kind of stuff. Like, he's got a ring. Does he need another one? You know what I mean?
Right. No, I totally agree there. I could definitely see him stepping away and getting some, like, WrestleMania money from, like, Vince McMahon and WWE to go wrestle, like, once a year.
I could also totally see him being the guy that just stays around and says, I never said I was retiring. That was when they were going to trade me to the Lions.
Right.
You know, and just being like, you guys said I was retiring, not me. I could totally see him being that guy as well.
So I guess if he hangs on, Swags, like, he clearly was not right this year. Do we think he can ever get back to being that clear, bona fide number one tight end for fantasy?
I think that he still has a couple years that he'll be stronger than what Antonio Gates has given us the last three.
I mean, that's like
I think he can still be a relevant NFL player, even if he's not the Gronk that we've come to know and love. He was still a top 10 tight end, I think tight end 7 or so. So, no, he's not a top 3 tight end. I don't want to pay that at all. But the question is, I mean, if he's on the field, he's still going to have some of those games. He wasn't just a shell of himself because of his time on the field, but his time away, which that's his career. So if he's there, I mean, if he's playing, he's somebody we start weekly.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. So let me ask you.
The answer is no. Gronk is never going to be the real number one tight end by himself. Okay. He could get into the conversation and be in a top 4. I think that's fine. With Kelce Kittle, I think he can get back into that conversation, but I'm never going to see Gronk as one by himself.
Well, but I totally agree with that. But well,
that was the question. You just went somewhere else.
I didn't have that question ever.
That was kind of the question I posed like 45 seconds ago to you, but it's okay.
I don't think he's going to be a top tight end, though.
Right.
But
we both agree.
If he plays, like, I think he puts up viable numbers.
Okay, so he will be a tight end one in terms of scoring, but not the tight end one, is basically what you're saying.
For me and him, yes.
I think he'll be a top 10 tight end every time he takes the field.
Right.
So Tudrin clearly understands the question. I don't think Swags understood the question. It's okay.
And he still got it right.
All right, there's some other quick news here. So the Falcons rehired Dirk Koetter as their offensive coordinator. Obviously,
Wasn't he the OC when Ryan had his MVP year? So that's kind of nice. And maybe we don't get that first year lull from Ryan that we've seen with the coordinator, since it's going back to kind of a, you know, scheme he's used to.
Yeah, which will be really nice, especially for fantasy owners for next year. Because like you said, to drink, there is typically that lull that first year with Ryan when he's working with a new coordinator. So
and he blows up really year too. So maybe we just get it right away now.
That'd be nice, man. Two really solid years from Matt Ryan in that offense could be really nice. And probably a decent buy low in Superflex leagues. I shouldn't say buy low. He's actually probably pretty near the max of his value because he's coming off a really good year this year.
Like as high as 2 in some, you know, scoring formats. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, so really probably pretty difficult to acquire for cheap right now. Unless people don't understand that Koetter was with him previously. You can try to get him cheap that way. Just another couple quick notes here. So Chris Herndon, a Jets rookie tight end, pled guilty to a DWI on Wednesday stemming from a June accident. Herndon was actually arrested on June 4th. So he will probably face some type of suspension in the 2019 season. So obviously he was a very promising young rookie tight end, developing some chemistry with Sam Darnold, but just be kind of checking out the news wires as the offseason goes on to see if Herndon will miss any time coming from 2019. And just a note, again, sticking with the tight end position, it's a very tight end centric show today so far. Hunter Henry is actually practicing in full for the Chargers. So off the PUP list, they officially activated him. So I'm actually very interested to see how Hunter Henry does if he actually gets on the field. We'll start with Swags on this one too. Thoughts about Hunter Henry, if he can, you know, show up, and then what his expectations are from you for 2019.
I would sell Hunter Henry personally.
Hmm.
I think that we've built a lot of hype around the dude for third year now.
Too long.
And I don't know why we are, honestly. Like, he's showed us flashes here and there. He's never showed us anything. I don't know, man. Like, Evan Engram, again, I've said this before, but he had Hunter Henry's career at this point has as many receptions as Evan Engram's rookie year. And we're drooling over this guy like he's won us championships year in, year out. We have yet to see it. We have yet to see him stay healthy. We have yet to see him be a productive fantasy asset for us.
Yeah, so I think it's that dirty word, that P word, potential, right? I think that's a really kind of scary word, especially with tight ends. I mean, obviously, I think he's perceived as a top five dynasty tight end. I think he's that lower end, that number five dynasty tight end. But yeah, no, I definitely think it's probably a decent opportunity to probably try to sell high here as he gets back into the swing of things. To drink, any differing thoughts there, or are you kind of feeling what Swag's saying?
Yeah, I'm definitely closer to that side, and all I want to say is don't F up my Mike Williams shares. Don't come in and mess with. That's why I'm very interested to see him.
Keenan might keep helping you with those,
and see. Yeah, that's true. And just kind of see how that dynamic works. That if he gets back in there, does Philip look to him? You know, the new toy that's back in there, the big target, or we keep trying to feed Mike more because it seems to work well when we do it.
Well, the good news is Tyrell Williams is a free agent, so he will probably not be back on the team next year with Mike Williams. Yeah. You know, starting
the Gazelle needs to go. To like yeah. The Seahawks, get out of here.
Seahawks, Redskins, you know, someone who actually needs
I receiver. Don't care.
So, I know. Yeah, we want him out. We want Mike Williams to start soaking up targets for sure.
Hunter Henry's like the ASJ, but people like Hunter Henry.
Ouch.
Ooh, man. That's like a deep, it. A deep burn. I like that one too, with a deep burn. I kind of like Hunter Henry a little bit, but not.
Hunter Henry's got a really cool name. It's easier to say. It's catchy. That's all it is.
It's easier to say.
Nobody's out there saying HH.
Nope.
True.
That's why we love him. Yep.
Steve, you like some Hunter Henry and no tight end premium. What are you, 12 team, what are you looking to pay for Hunter Henry? Do you need to see it on the field first or do you want to go grab it now before?
No, I would grab it now. I think a back end first round pick in 2019 could get it done. I would hope. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I would give you Hunter Henry really fast for that.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on what drafts. I mean, a lot of the people that have him, I don't know if they would do that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the people that have him probably want a little more. But yeah, especially if like you're saying kind of like right around that fringe, tight end five range. That's too rich for me. I would give you him for a first, any first and immediately.
Okay. Yeah, I would buy him there.
So what about like if you put him up against some players or something like where I mean, Ebron or Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry for me.
Is it just because Ebron's done so much even when he was with Detroit more than Hunter Henry, or is it because of what Ebron did this year?
It's just because Jack Doyle was injured.
I mean, I think it's part of it, right? We saw when Doyle actually played. Little. Ebron played like what 20% of the snaps.
No, but Ebron literally has a better career up until he left Detroit than Hunter Henry has. And then he had top 5 years.
He's been great. Right. He's been awesome.
But no, you'll take Hunter Henry. Austin Hooper?
Yeah. Hunter Henry.
Trey Burton?
Hunter Henry.
Njoku?
Ooh, that's a tough one for me.
Njoku.
I think that's Njoku. Yeah, it's Njoku.
And no, yeah, and Evan Engram,
Hunter Henry.
Wow,
Evan Engram was a almost non-factor when OBJ played.
But Hunter Henry's done so much.
His rookie year, what, 8 touchdowns his rookie year?
I don't know. I just don't get the hype. I'm I don't know what OJ Howard.
Like I said, OJ Howard. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too.
Yep. Yep, coming off the injury.
That's an interesting one, too, because you hear Bruce Arians doesn't generally use a tight end. So he's got to, though, right? Like, OJ Howard's so talented. And okay. He's more like a move tight end. He's not like he doesn't necessarily line up all the time.
So. No, but he's a good blocker, though. So, I mean, he's a very good blocker, OJ Howard. So he might.
Maybe your Chris Godwin love will finally show up a little bit more. Although he had solid work, I'm just saying.
Nice little Chris Godwin's
Ian Thomas or
he's Hunter no Mike Henry. Evans, but
no, he's not Mike Evans yet. He'll be close next year. I'll take Hunter Henry over Ian Thomas.
I'll take Ian Thomas there.
Ian Thomas against the world, right?
Yep.
So like Spike
Goddard. Goddard.
Yeah, I will take Hunter Henry over Goddard. No, who's Goddard, a second fiddle for the next 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
A second fiddle, at least you're playing, you know, you're with the band.
That's because he's hurt. I mean, if Henry's on the field next year, like, there's no contest between the two. In terms of production, there's no contest. No contest.
But Goddard was a tight end 19 with Ertz.
Great. And Ertz is there. Ertz is, what, 28, 29, maybe? He's got 4 more years at least there.
Oh, I don't know about that. Just with, I don't know if Philly will do that, but I know what you're saying. He's got a productive career in front of him, but I don't know if he'll be there. I don't know if they'll continue to pay both those guys.
I mean, the good thing is Goddard's on a rookie deal, right? So he's super cheap right now. Yep. So it's not like they have to pay him a boatload of money for both those
and it's not. There. I don't disagree with your take on that Eagles situation. It's that I need to see a year of Hunter Henry on the field. All these other guys have given me that.
Yep. No, I totally agree. I think that it's good to have that known production that you've seen someone, you know, get through the whole year healthy. Like I said, I think it's that dirty P word of potential that I see in Henry still, which is could end up costing me, or it could end up being, you know, something really special. So yeah. I'm willing to take that risk, especially in a position like Teddy.
I hear you. Yep. I got away from it though. I had to get away from Hunter Henry.
Yeah, totally fair, man. Totally fair. So let's move on now. And before we talk about two drinks, double shots, let's talk about GT bets a little bit.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. GTBets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to GTBets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Superflex in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
Awesome. Now we are up to two drinks, double shot of the week, playoff edition. So, two drink, what's your first shot, man?
So, we're going to try not to talk about Hunter Henry anymore. But,
it's going to be tough, though.
But, yeah, I am going to take in my first shot here. By the way, my family knows me all too well because I got pretty much every gift. It was either socks or liquor. So, tonight we're going to enjoy some Jim Beam Red Stag on some ice.
I had fun talking about Hunter Henry, okay?
Fair enough. First shot is Chargers plus four going to New England. Now, I'm going to take the plus four. I'm going to take the West Coast team going all the way to the East Coast, to cold New England, might even snow. And I have this little known fact of Rivers is 0-7 versus Brady. Including one playoff game. But at some point, that streak's going to end, and that's this Saturday. Chargers plus four. We're going to see a lot of Melvin Gordon in this game. I'm not sure about Hunter Henry. I don't really care. But Melvin Gordon, bring it out. I know you guys want to go Pats, don't you?
I actually like the Chargers call a lot. So do you think the Chargers just cover, or do you think they went outright?
So I love the points, the four for sure. Like, I could easily see New England winning on a field goal, and I think that's probably where it ends up. But I like a big game from Melvin Gordon here. In the snow, goes back to his Wisconsin days and just trucking dudes. 25-plus touches for Melvin. And I want to say the Chargers pull it out.
I love it. I love that call, man. I'm totally on board. What about you, Swags?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yep. Yep.
Awesome, nice. Man.
And
second shot.
World just cried. Second shot is Philly at the Saints. The Saints is -8. That's a giant line in playoffs. I'm not going to lie. But Breeze is going to do what Trubisky couldn't do, didn't want to do, and attack this Philly secondary.
Yeah.
Breeze is going to light it up. Give me the Saints -8 at home. Take care of business. And, yeah. No more Philly. Sorry.
I like that one a lot. I'll take the Saints.
Yeah, I like the Saints too in this one. I mean, they bet it. I think it was bet down, right? I think it was like minus 10 to start with or something like that. It was like,
I believe so, yeah.
Much higher. So they were begging you to take Philly after their last outing, and people have been, so they bet it down to minus 8. I do think the luck runs out for Nick Foles here. I think he comes back to earth playing in the dome. Not enough playmakers for Philly. I think New Orleans gets it done. I like that call to drink. I'm totally on board.
And like you say, if you continue to watch the, you know, watch this line go down, if that gets anywhere, you know, to 7 or something like that, you feel a lot better about it too.
Oh, you feel awesome. If this gets like 6.5 somehow, you're absolutely back. So maybe you hold off on actually betting the line until maybe a little bit later in the week and hope it gets bet down a little bit more. Yeah, it's a good call, man. So yeah, obviously check all those lines out and more at gtbets.eu, and always use our promo code SUPERFLEX. So let's talk a little about a quick 2018 year in review. Then we've got a ton of Superflex trades to talk about as well. So I'm going to start with swags on this one. A couple of just quick, I guess, awards here. So who was your fantasy MVP in from a Superflex perspective, swags, in 2018?
So for my MVP, this is tough because there's so many, but I think it's, I mean, how do you not give it to Mahomes?
Yeah. Unanimous.
Yeah.
So 5,050. No, everybody's like, oh, he won't do it again next year, though, right? I think he does. I don't see this regression. I get it. I totally get it. Another year in this offense. Maybe Stanley finally gets healthy. Who knows?
I think he's the kind of player that even if there is regression, I don't even want to hear about it. I don't care. He's a flat out stud. So if somebody's telling us next year that his 4,800 yards isn't good enough, you can kiss our super flexible asses.
He can regress a lot and still be quarterback one.
Yep.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. There's in one of my home leagues, he outscored the next quarterback by 120 points because of like big yardage play bonuses and stuff like that. 120 points above the next quarterback.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's crazy.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And everyone talks about, you know, quarterback not mattering and things like that. But when it's that many points per game, it matters. It matters a lot.
Do we see this defense maybe getting a little bit better? They probably spend a little bit of money that way and maybe draft guys on that side. They signed Damian Williams. Do they bring another running back in? Does that change a whole lot? Or you know what I mean? So, I mean, there's definitely a few things in there where you could see the numbers tick down a little bit. But even then, he's probably going to crush the field again.
Yeah, I think he was even more dangerous, though, when they had a real running game, too.
Right.
When Kareem Hunt was there, you know, taking some, you know, having some extra players in the box every once in a while. I think it helped him out a lot, too, for getting letting Tyreek get a little deep, maybe some more one-on-one coverage for Kelsey. So, yeah, man, I definitely love that call in Mahomes. I think we're unanimous with that one. So let's move on now to our next category. We'll start with you, Drake, on this one. So rookie quarterback performance of the year. So which out of the rookie quarterbacks are you taking for this one? I've got mine in my head, and I think it might be a little surprising for you guys, but go ahead.
So it's very hard for me not to say Baker here just because of the sheer amount of numbers that he did. And not only, you know, breaking records as a rookie quarterback and not playing all the games, but just what he did for that city, for that team moving forward. I mean, to the point where now, you know, Freddie Kitchens, who was running back coach, then offensive coordinator, is now the head coach. Just, you know, they want to see that continue. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you don't go that way, but boy, I'll let you guys go because there's some other ones that definitely deserve consideration, and I'm very excited about next year.
Absolutely with you, and I'll just continue. I mean, everything you just said, I mean, but he wasn't just a player that you were grabbing or streaming. He was somebody from like week 6 on you had in your lineup with confidence. You felt good about it. You weren't worried about your quarterback. You knew that you could ride that out the rest of the year. He helped take you to the championships, and then he helped finish it for you. There were other quarterbacks that were here and there for you throughout the season, but I think Baker Mayfield was that rookie quarterback that if it weren't for players like Mahomes, he might have been that guy for me.
Yep.
Yeah, so I definitely agree on all the Baker points. I am going to be a bit
contrarian. Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm going to say Josh Allen.
Nice.
Josh Allen. Yeah, I mean, just his blow-up weeks that he did have. I mean, Baker was definitely more consistent. Baker is definitely a better real-life NFL quarterback at this point in time than Josh Allen. But from a pure fantasy perspective, the extra dimension that he added with his legs cannot
his
be ignored.
His strong finish.
He had quarterback a one over the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah.
One.
Truly amazing, his performance. Better than Mahomes, which is saying a lot.
Yep.
Truly an amazing fantasy performance from Josh Allen. Definitely a lot more than I ever thought he'd be, especially in his rookie year. I will take Josh Allen on this one just because of how strong he was down the stretch. And he definitely led, I think, some people to some Superflex championships.
Steve, who is your most surprising performance from 2018?
Gosh, overall... This one was...
That's the next category, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the next category. This is an interesting one to me, and I think because... This one, I'm going to go to one of your boys, actually, Swags, just because I didn't expect him to get this much this early, and that's your boy Nick Chubb. I thought he'd have...
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he would have had more time, you know, staying behind Carlos Hyde, but, you know, I'm happy that the front office there saw the potential in Nick Chubb after his limited work early in the season and gave him the reins, that offense. I'm really excited about that. So I will be surprised that, not surprised at how he performed, but I'm surprised that he got the workload so early in his career versus waiting behind Carlos Hyde.
McCaffrey, Chubb, and Mahomes were owned on more championship teams than any other players.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Who's yours to drink?
All right, so mine, it's funny that you kind of went to his boy because I'm going to go to your Steve a little bit. And honestly, I definitely, maybe this goes in a little different way, but Luck to me is definitely not where, I mean, I knew if he was healthy that he would all be a lot better than where I had him, but just the sheer amount that he put on, I still don't really like all his weapons there. Like, he's not doing it with super studs there, but and I actually grouped Ebron in there with him kind of together. So both of those guys this year, Luck and Ebron, kind of, I don't want to say caught me off guard, but a little more than expected for sure.
Cool. Awesome.
Swags.
So what about you, Swags?
I'm going with Tyreek Hill.
Love it.
And I know it's not so much of a surprise because he's been in the wide receiver one area again, but I mean, in some scoring formats, he was a wide receiver one, like overall. And that was with Watkins coming there. That was with the quote unquote regression coming, and he proved us all wrong. So it maybe it's an easy one. Maybe it wasn't a big surprise, but I think that dude balled out and going to stick with the Chiefs on it.
Yeah, and I think that's a good call, Swag, because a lot of people, a lot of analytics guys had a lot of, you know, regression coming for Tyreek Hill. He's an uber efficient player. Like, just with his absolute game-breaking speed, everything that he can do on the field, he's going to make people look stupid and really just keep racking up points as long as Mahomes is the quarterback there. That's a really good call there. So now overall, best call for the year. We'll start with Swag on this one. What was your best call? I have a feeling who it is, but let's just go through it.
I'm going to go with Doug Baldwin on this one.
Nice. Okay. As a scrub. I like that.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that call, man.
Yeah. I was thinking about that one today too. Like, what direction do I want to go with this one? And I ended up that one, I think, by a landslide for me, just because so many people, including both of you, kind of thought like, no way. Baldwin is this guy. He's going to be this and that still. And
that's why I'm surprised you didn't take it literally right there on the same team and call it as Lockett, because you were higher on Lockett than I definitely was in Steve for
sure. Yeah, Lockett's been pretty nice. I'm a little bit worried about Lockett. Like, is that for real? Yeah. You know, is he a top 15 or a top 30? But
right. No, it's a good call, man. Definitely a good call. Two drink, what's your best call, man?
So I also went at this a little differently, and I kind of put in parentheses dud versus studs, because when we came up with that game during the season, just writing Baker Mayfield, like Swags kind of mentioned, during that middle part of the season there when that schedule was so nice, and then flipping it to Josh Allen at the end and kind of jumping on that, you know, those hot crazy games where he was quarterback one in fantasy towards the end there, and picking him against, you know, the Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that, and it actually working out. So that's kind of how I approach this question. And I really like playing that game, so I'm looking forward to that next year too.
Fun game.
Yeah, for sure. And we should get the final tally for next week. Get that done.
I mean, absolutely. I definitely won, but I'll put the points together for you guys.
You definitely did. So we're gonna have two drink, have a little homework here over the next week, and get that tally going.
Put them to work.
Works out well.
I need the whip.
Procrastination is key. So I'll do that Tuesday night.
Sounds good. I'm gonna stick with my good call for the year. I am gonna stick with Andrew Luck. I did have faith in him starting the year. I think it was a bit higher than both you on him and Colts in general.
Definitely.
So I was happy to see him come back and really be a phenomenal, NFL quarterback, fantasy quarterback, second in the league in touchdowns this year, really re-cementing himself as a franchise player for the Colts. So really excited to see that. And it's good for the league too. Like, as these older quarterbacks start to retire, it's really nice to see that we have this young, I should say not young, but younger breed of guys that can carry the league for the next, decade or so. So I was happy to see Luck come back and with a vengeance.
Steve, before you go on real quick, on your boy Luck, just off the top of your head here, quarterback dynasty rank for Luck, 2, 3? Like, how high are you willing to go now with him?
I think he's...
I've seen him up to 2 somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, I have seen him up to 2. I think he's 3 for me. Even after a down year, I'm still going to give Rodgers the benefit of the doubt for 2.
Okay.
I know he's still a bit older, but obviously Mahomes is 1 now. But these rankings move a lot, like interseason. But yeah, I'm comfortable having Luck with his youth versus Rodgers at number 3, even though Rodgers also have a number 2. What about you guys, Swags?
Yeah, so me and Swags were definitely not as high as
I mean, yeah, we were going into the season. I would take Baker.
Does he make your top
10? Josh Allen, Swags? Goff. I might take Mitch.
I will not
take Mitch.
Take Mitch. No, he's too inconsistent.
Cam Newton in front of Luck. I'll take.
Really?
Definitely. Without a question. I mean, he was a top quarterback all year until the end of it when he was beat up. Just his wheels alone make up for a lot. And that's year after year. I don't have to wait a year and a half in between. I'd take a lot of guys.
One injured year, now he's fully healthy for a whole year, and he's back to playing like Peyton Manning, and he shit on him. Unbelievable.
Yeah, those guys are all studs. Like, dude, I'll take Baker and Josh Allen all day for sure, without question. Goff all day.
I can't get behind Goff either. I can't do it.
But, so Luck didn't move up very much for Swags. Not too much.
No, two drink. Talk some sanity.
There's definitely a handful of guys there. That
we'll get back to Goff in a second.
Have them over there, but I can get
Dalton for a third of the price at only 2 years older, same production while he's healthy.
Oh, stop it! Stop it!
True story.
Andy Dalton's not gonna throw 39 touchdown passes in a year. Not gonna happen.
He'll get me some points other ways, though. He'll still be right there with Andrew Luck.
Is he?
He'll finish a wide receiver, a quarterback 8 to 12 if he's healthy.
Possibly, yes, but not QB2. Dalton will never get to QB2.
But you're not saying Dalton over Luck. You're saying because of value, or you are?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the production of like 2 to 3 points a week, maybe, that Luck's going to get me versus Dalton and the price of Dalton all day. I'm comfortable with it.
I mean,
it's not like Luck is a young buck at this point. He's the same age bracket as like Kirk Cousins, Stafford, freaking Case Keenum, for crying out loud. Like, he's old.
Yeah, he's not old. He's 29? That's not old. Quarterback years, he's got 10 more years left.
No, he does not. He's not Tom Brady. That's a special number. Maybe 37.
Tom Brady.
I'll give him 8. I'll give you 8, Steve.
So when we have... Okay, that's fair. I'll take him till he's 37. I'm just saying, when we have Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Eli still hanging on at 40, get back to me.
Well, Eli, that's...
I'm just saying, it's going to happen. He's going to end up somewhere. Like, it's just, everyone needs quarterbacks.
He's too pricey for what he gives you, though. Like, give me Stafford, all those guys.
Oh. Unbelievable.
Let's go to our last question. Go ahead.
Before we do that, I do want to talk about Jared Goff real quick, because... I am I don't want to say a pessimist on Jared Goff. I just don't think he's that talented. Like, I think the system has a lot to do with his success. I don't think
he's still going to be in that system for another at least 2 years, right?
Right. Two more years, I agree. But I just don't.
Minimum.
I don't think he's ever going to get to that elite status, like top five status in a year. I don't ever see that in his potential. Like, I think he's going to be a QB like 8 to 10 for the rest of his career, which is great, which is phenomenal. You can win championships like that. I just don't think he deserves to be in the class of a top five quarterback like a Cam, like a Luck, like a Mahomes, like a Rodgers. I don't think he deserves to be there.
Aaron Rodgers is like pretty special. I think he got crapped on pretty quick this year. I don't think too many people belong in that conversation, to be honest with you. Like Brady used to, obviously not today, but that's like for me today, that's like Mahomes and Rodgers, and it's a matter of like youth, and do you believe Mahomes can continue to put up 8 more points a week than the next highest quarterback, or I think Rodgers bounces back next year. I'm happy to buy Rodgers all over the place.
Yep, I agree.
Yep.
Cool. So let's, before we talk about some super flex trades, let's hit up the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at dynastyfootballfactory.com.
Awesome. Love that Scouting Academy
stuff.
This
is the part of the show I get Nick Foles.
Maybe, potentially. Let's talk. Let's go through our Superflex trades.
But there's that damn word again.
That P word, man. It's a bad word. Dirty P word. All right, let's talk about some Superflex trades from everyone else on Twitter. Obviously, at SuperflexPod, at SuperflexTrades. Use that hashtag Superflex when you're talking about your dynasty trades. Then maybe we'll have some three-way trade action here with the three of us. So from at @culture_coach, just made this trade in a total rebuild. So it's a 12-team PPR. Full point PPR, 0.25 per carry bonus at Superflex League. So it's the 101 or the 105 and Rashad Penny. We'll start with Swags on this one.
First of all, shout out to Culture Coach, huge friend of the show. And yeah, he's always out there supporting us and support him. So find him on Twitter. This trade, man, this is a tough one for me. It really is. In the Superflex, like, you can get, if the right thing falls to that 105, you could like it, but you really got to work with it. I want the 101. I want the 101. That 101 is going up in value each and every day.
So much power.
Yep.
So much power.
It's at an all-time low, and by the time draft is coming around, you can sell that for a lot more than a 105 and Penny.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Totally agree. I think we're in unanimous on that one.
Yep. That's exactly what I wrote in there too. 603 votes, so he got a lot of traction on this one, and it was actually close. 101 did end up winning, but only at 56%. I'm with you guys. You got to wait. Even if you wait like a month, I bet you could get Penny 105 and
first or an early second. Dennis on? Which side was he on?
So he took Penny in 105.
Okay.
He has some other picks in there too, and he really likes Penny. And
I mean, Carroll said he wants to use Penny more, which I don't know if I like or not. Sometimes, as soon as Carroll talks about somebody, that's when I want to move him.
The exact opposite of what you want. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But
so we'll see.
I mean, I like the get your guy. You know what I mean? If you're big on Penny and you see that coming, and you still have that 104 or 105. I think he has 104 as well and another first.
And same will hold true for that 105. That 105 will gain value every day as well, just not as much value. But come draft time, people will want those picks. They'll want to be a part of the draft. They'll pay you too much. Well, you can get crazy things for 105s during a draft.
Yeah, and especially this year with that group of wide receivers, you know, even in Superflex, maybe you add Haskins in there. I'm not a huge fan of his, but all those wide receivers, there's 4, 5, 6 of them, depending on the people in your draft room. Mm-hmm. And all those might be valued at 101 to them. You know what I mean? They would take them there and they could get them at 105. So I would wait till the absolute longest that I could, because you might have somebody coming to get their 101 at that 105 spot, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yep. That makes total sense. You drink. That's a really good point. Really good point on that one. So let's move to the next one now from S. Deaton 24, a super flex league with starting two tight ends. So we've got Travis Kelce, Kerryon Johnson, and a late, I'm guessing this is 2019 second, or Zeke and Stephon Diggs. I'll start with two drink on this one.
So it's Zeke and Diggs pretty easy for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're all going to go that way, right?
Yes, sir.
Pretty easy.
I don't know if it's that easy with this two tight end set, man. You get into some serious two tight end leagues, and somebody like Kelce holds so much value. Now in a startup, I can't see me ever drafting Kelce in front of Zeke, even in a two tight end set, to be fair to that. But I can tell you, I will take Kerryon all day over Diggs. And
it doesn't make up for Zeke.
Like, that's not the same. But I mean, you get a top 15 running back in Kerryon Johnson, and I'm going to add in the word easy, and then you get the number one tight end, and the late second doesn't do much for me. All you've got to give up is Zeke. Hashtag shit on Diggs. So
all you've
it's not that bad, but man, Zeke has so much value. I'm going to take that Kelce and Kerry inside all day.
With the second. Wow, I was going to change it to a first.
All day. I mean, what else are you going to do with your tight end situation? I think it's so overlooked when you're playing these two tight end leagues. If it's 12 teams or more, I want the Kelce side. 10 teams or less, I want the Zeke side. Like, that's a game winner. Kelsey's going to put up so many points that people are missing in their lineups.
He is, but then you also have to kind of... I don't want to
say struggle. I wish it was tight end premium, too, but it's
obviously, Kerryon should be definitely a factor, but Zeke is a top three running back for the next, 5 years? Like, that production's hard to make up for. It really is.
And keep feeding him, 80-plus targets, too. That'd be sweet.
Right?
Kerryon was his top five. His last five games, Kerryon was a top 12.
Oh, sweet. That's great.
I'm so excited Swags went that way. I'm going to put it on here.
I mean, I'm just saying that.
716 votes, 80% Zeke Diggs.
They don't play in two tight end sets.
I do think format has a lot to do with the potential this being closer, but I still think it's just the fact that you're shitting on Diggs so much is disappointing. I think Diggs is actually a real talent and at least a top 15 dynasty wide receiver. So I think he and Kerryon kind of cancel each other out, to be honest, in terms of assets.
Diggs over Kerryon, easy. Duh.
Nah.
Gosh, such a homer. Such a homer.
Right?
No.
All right.
15% on that 20.
Give me Sony over Diggs, and I'll take Kerryon over Sony.
All right. So the next trade.
Let's move on. Let's move on. From at Yam Snapper. I love this name. This Twitter handle is freaking sweet.
That one sounds familiar. I feel like that's been here too.
It might have been. PPR Superflex League. So Joe Mixon and 1.11 in the 2019 versus Sony Michel, Zach Ertz, and I guess this is 2.5. So it's the 17th pick in the 2019 draft.
Okay.
We'll start with Swags on this one.
Man, this one's a toughie for me, but I'm going to take Mixon. I'm going to take the Mixon side of that.
Ooh. See, that's why I threw it in there, because I know you love Mixon so much.
Yeah, I like all these players.
Yeah, they're all really good assets.
And I think a top tight end is a game changer, even in a one tight end set. Like, it just gives you that comfort and security. So going back to that two tight end set, I mean, holy cow, get you some Kelce. But on this one, I want that mix inside. Just by a little, though. That's a solid trade.
Yeah, it's a good trade, I thought. Two drink, what do you think?
Sony Ertz. Pretty. Yes. I like Mixon, and Mixon is definitely ahead of Sony in production and probably outlook for the next year or two. I'd love for that to be Sony, but the Ertz definitely is close enough for me to pull that side. The 11 and 17, it's not a huge difference to me. It's probably, you know, a one tier breakdown in my rookies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Not a big jump there for me.
I think Sony and Ertz is about what it should cost to get Mixon right now,
though. I agree. So it's probably just player preference at that point. I think that's a very fair deal.
And I like Sony, but I think Mixon, you said Mixon is ahead of Sony for now, and I think Mixon is ahead of Sony forever.
Yeah, and that could very well be.
Sony will move up, I think. Like, it's not that I don't like Sony, but I think that Mixon's situation and the player and everything, like, too. Mixon was a top eight running back.
Yep.
So a question on this, because this is my...
He disappeared in some weeks.
This is my hypothesis on Sony. I think he was playing injured the whole year, especially after the preseason. Do you think we've seen... just the tip of the iceberg on Sony Michel. Do you think we can see like the explosive Georgia Sony Michel next year to drink? Do you think that can happen?
I think we could, but I don't know that the Pats need or want to use him that way. Sony was the pass catcher at Georgia, and Chubb was the hammer. I mean, both guys could do both, and we're seeing that. But James White's still there, and they're still going to use some kind of guy named Rex Burkhead or somebody that looks like him. And just that's because that's how they win. That's how they want to use their players. So
he's an RB2 with the weekly upside. Like this year, he finished, I think, RB26, and that was with his in and out games and stuff. So I think if he has some a healthy streak, I think he's a top 20 running back easy.
I think even being on the Bengals and even not knowing the coaching situation, you know, what that's going to be, Mixon will feel safer, you know, week in and week out to go ahead and start and not worry about it. So that's very nice to have as an RB, you know, on your fantasy lineup. All right, Mixon, boom, move on. I'll figure out my RB2.
Yep. No, I agree, especially in a PPR league too, where Mixon was doing a lot of damage this year while Sony was not catching those passes. Like you said, James White, Rex Burkhead were getting a ton of love in the passing game. So yeah. But I will take the
Sony Ertz. Getting touchdowns.
Yeah, James Devlin was catching the ball. Jesus, like so brutal. But yeah, I will still take the Sony Ertz side just for player preference. I'm a big fan of Ertz, as you can tell by our previous discussions. So slightly leaning that way. Next one, 12-team super flex league. Swag, did you actually make this trade? Is that why this is?
I added this trade in here. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we got Julio Jones. Is this PPR?
Yeah.
Full PPR. Julio Jones or Josh Rosen, the 2019 1.11 and 2.02, and a 2021 first. Interesting one. I can start, and then we'll go to two drink on this one. I will still take Julio on this one. I think he's still got at least 2 to 3 elite years left in him. And with, even though you are getting a bunch of picks and a quarterback who is, can't be much worse than he was this past year, I think he's got a bunch of potential, especially with Kirk there in that offense, and Kingsbury, who, I mean, is a wild card, but we think will, you know, have some type of great offensive scheme. I will still take Julio, as he is an absolute elite monster talent in one of the quietest, 1,600-yard seasons that we've seen in the history of the NFL.
Absolutely. Two drink, what about you?
Josh Rosen was really bad. Really bad. I mentioned this on Breakdown. The worst QBR in the last 5 years of qualified quarterbacks with a 26.1. That's not good at all. I gotta go Julio. I feel like this is a team situation that I would end up with, because, you know, I love some wide receivers and hold on to them and need a quarterback. I don't want to give up Julio.
I was on the Julio side of this. I took Julio.
Nice. You got Julio. Okay, so your quarterbacks in this league now that you lost Rosen.
Do you know what you have? Aaron Rodgers, Watson, Derek Carr, and Winston.
So four quarterbacks, Julio, but it's actually two quarterbacks.
The two quarterback, but you have four starting and you're very good. Nice ones after that. Yeah, Julio all day long. It makes it feel good.
Yeah, it's really nice. Good trade, Swags. Really nice one.
Thanks. Who's this next one?
This next one is actually just an interesting one, just in terms of quarterback values. So I threw it in here at the end. So a 12-team PPR Superflex League, Cam and Josh Allen or Russell Wilson. We'll start with Swags on this one.
I'll take that Cam and Josh Allen side and run.
Mm-hmm. To drink, any differing opinion?
Running and me doesn't mix, so I'm probably not going to run ever if I can get away with it. But yeah, I'm going to lean Cam and Josh Allen.
You're a little hesitant.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, Russ is killing it. I mean, still. And it's only with Lockett at this point. So I'll take the two pieces because it's two starters, and that's the smart way to go. And I like Cam, and I believe Swag likes Cam, you know, even more than Steve there. And we talked about Josh Allen, what he can do, you know, fantasy-wise, what he did. So you got to go that way. But yeah, just not by a lot.
Okay, for me, this was fairly obvious. Like Swags was saying, I'm taking the Cam and Josh Allen side. You're getting two potentially top 10 starting options here to fill out your QB1 and Superflex spot. I know Russ has been killing it. Russ is probably one of the most efficient seasons we've seen from a quarterback this past year. But yeah, I will take that Cam side and go to the bank on that one for sure.
I mean, if you have, like, Swags had an abundance of quarterbacks. He had 5 starting. I know that was a 2-quarterback, but he had 5 there. Like, is there some version there where you could see of doing that too to upgrade that one extra one? Or if you only have 2 quarterbacks and Russ is 1, then you definitely got to do it. You know, you want that 3 starting guys. But
I think you could take these 2 quarterbacks here and use one of them to get Russ back while he's sucking at the beginning of next year again.
Nice. I think that's a really good chance of doing that. Yep, really good chance of doing that.
There's no situation that would make me want Russ over Cam and Josh Allen right now.
Yeah, I mean, because to drink, what's the upside, the extra upside you get in Russ? Like, Josh Allen was ready to quarterback 1 for 5 weeks.
No,
Russ
Wilson,
buying low
Russ
on,
Wilson can only equal that.
It's buying low on the Panthers shutting Cam down. Cam would have played if they were in the playoffs.
Might not have played well, but he would have played, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, fair.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome.
Still not running.
So that's fine. You can briskly walk. How about that? Power walking with the weights in your hands? Just strolling down the street?
It's definitely not.
So super, super duper, duper fast, guys, before we get out of here.
Give me some Winston.
Nobody mentioned the player you are looking to acquire the most and add to your rosters for 2019.
Yeah, that's Steve's fault.
It was my fault. I totally messed that up.
Well, mine super quick is Julio.
I like that a lot.
Been trying to get for him. I think the price to production ratio is at an all-time low, and I think you can go up and gobble some Julio up.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Cutter?
Cutter coming back in and feeding Julio. I like it. I would like to get some Stafford and Mariota this
I like the Stafford one. Mariota, I'm a little hesitant. I like the Stafford one a lot, though, especially Superflex.
And I think I could pay less for Mariota than even Stafford right now.
Just you might be able to, though.
I don't know. I think I easily see both of those guys a little bit of a bounce back. So
I like that.
Yeah, I think Mariota is probably near his all-time low, even after last year with all the injuries and stuff like that and uncertainty. For me, it's a guy who I fell in love with the last couple of years, Melvin Gordon. I know his price tag's high, but coming off of a kind of disappointing stretch run, I think you may be able to get him at less than peak value, and I think he is a locked-in top 5 dynasty RB, probably number 5.
Can I get him at less than peak value from you?
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
So Steve. Next week you may hear about a trade that went down between the 3 of us in our Superflex league. You may hear.
I have just a couple of secondary wide receivers too, real quick. James Washington, Dante Pettis, Michael Gallup. I like all those guys to kind of nice little jump next year.
Like that.
How good do you think Pettis is going to be good with Antonio Brown?
I think Pettis could go back to the slot and excel.
Do pretty good.
Be that third option. I mean, he would be the third option behind Kittle. And plus, you know, Shanahan likes to pass it and, you know, to the running back, which will be Lev as well. So we'll just go Steelers West.
Steelers West. Steelers West Coast. I like that, man. That'd be a sick Steelers West Coast team. I like that a lot.
And they might have the money to do both of that.
How
crazy
would
that be?
Crazy.
Like $90 million.
Go get some Jimmy G right now. Good Lord.
That could be a good Bilo too. Or Mullins. Yeah. I like the Jimmy G Bilo in Superflex right now. He's got a really good chance to be a monster next year. We saw Nick Mullins.
He's too sexy to Bilo.
Ah, he is too sexy.
I'll stay with Country Boy Stafford.
Okay. Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, where can they find you on Twitter, Swags?
I am at DFF underscore Swag.
To Drink.
At FL2 Drink Minimum and at Superflex Pod.
Awesome. I am at The Real Hulopka and at Superflex Trades, and we are out.
You guys are neat.
So I'm really not going to get Winston or Foles in this episode? Yeah, it's not.
Not after offering some booty-ass trade like you did before.
Well, at least we're talking now. Like,
I don't have any Amari Cooper shares.
That's cool. Hey, Steve, what do you think about Colts? I think it was -5. At the
Thanks teams. For enjoying the Super Flexible Podcast.
Don't turn it up on me.
One of the many podcasts brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and Dynasty Football Factory. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So go subscribe to the show and get every podcast as soon as it releases straight to your phone. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review the show. That helps the show out more than you know. It helps get all you Super Flexers the best content that you want to hear. On Twitter, follow the host, Steve, at The Real Palupka, and the two co-hosts, Swag, at GFF underscore Swag, and Two Drink, at FLT Drink Minimal. But wait, there's more. Subscribe now and call your friends, and we'll throw in all the other podcasts from the DF Network for free. Be sure to check out
Dynasty Trade HQ, Dynasty Warzone, Daddy Watch, Technology 101, the IED Ad Crusher, Dynasty Football Fellas, and the Rookie Fever Podcast. Remember to tag at Superflex Pod and at Superflex Trades for all your Superflex and two quarterback needs. Plus, GTBetEU. Use that promo code in all caps, Superflex, and get that $500 match. Do that now. Get fantasy ripped with a Super Flexible Podcast.
I need some Jameis Winston.